Coming up, Rabbi Akiva Tatz and some fresh insights that just might have you rethinking Shabbat. Welcome to 613 Books Podcast. I'm your host, Heather Dean. And if you like to read a variety of books with authentic Jewish values, we read you loud and clear. How many times have you heard or asked that timeless question, read any good books lately? Well, in just a little while, we'll check in with this week's Reading Table contributor. But first, my featured guest this week is Rabbi Akiva Tatz. He's written a number of books on the subject of Jewish thought and philosophy, including Anatomy of a Search, World Mask, The Thinking Jewish Teenager's Guide to Life, Living Inspired, Will, Freedom, and Destiny, As Dawn Ends the Night, and most recently, Shabbat and the Festivals, Journey and Destination. Welcome back to 613 Books Podcast, Rabbi Akiva Tatz.
Thanks, Heather. Great to be back with you again on your podcast.
There's an old expression, more than the Jew has kept Shabbat, Shabbat has kept the Jew. One of the first questions asked and answered in your Sefer, Shabbat and the Festivals, is why among all the mitzvot does Shabbat define the Jew?
Right. That, of course, is the essential question. And the answer is this, is that of all the commandments, we single out Shabbat as defining us. For example, we call a religious person a Shomer Shabbat, and many other expressions of the same thing. The Talmud itself says that Shabbat is equivalent to all the mitzvot, and in many ways you could say it. And here's the answer. In a nutshell, Shabbat is destination. Shabbat is tachlis. Shabbat is reaching the end point where it all comes together. And therefore, a Jew who lives Shabbat is a person with a destination. Let me put it to you this way. When you define a journey, there's one thing that is not negotiable about a journey. Everything else is negotiable, whether you go first class or second class or the slow route or the fast route or the scenic route, all negotiable. But one thing that's not negotiable about a journey is the destination. Every single step must lead to destination. If your destination is you're running a company to make money, then everything you do must make money, even when you're spending money, like on advertising. And if you're not doing that, you're running the company irresponsibly. And therefore, the thing that defines anything is its endpoint. The thing that gives meaning to anything is its endpoint. A machine that does not reach an endpoint or a product is ridiculous. A journey that has no destination is meaningless. It is true that there are some religions that say, in a deep mystical sense, that the journey is the destination. Okay, that's a deep idea, but there's a destination, right? Whatever that deep idea might be. And therefore, a person without a destination is wandering lost. A Jew is a person with a destination. Destination is Shabbat. And this is the deep meaning of what we say. Shabbat is Me'ein Olam Haba. It is a foretaste, a premonition of another world. And another world is indeed our destination. Mm-hmm. And therefore, a person who's traveling, and you stop the person and say, where are you going? And they say, I don't know, I'm just going, is a confused individual. That's a person without a definition. Mm-hmm. Let me give you an analogy. You go and visit a famous inventor, and you walk into this inventor's lab, and on his work desk, you see a very complicated looking machine. You say, this looks amazing. What does it do? He says, this machine is a breakthrough in human technology. For the first time in the history of humankind, I've invented this machine. I say, what does it do? He says, you switch this machine on, it fuels itself, it cleans itself, it fixes itself, and it keeps itself going. You say, that's astounding. What does your machine actually do? He says, no, you don't understand. This machine fixes itself, it cleans it. The man's an idiot. He's a brilliant idiot. Now, if that machine makes you a pizza or boils you a cup of coffee, it's a clever machine. But a machine that does nothing to keep the machine going is a travesty. It's ridiculous. And I hate to tell you this, Heather, but a moment's thought will show you that most people on earth live that way. They go to work to keep surviving, to keep going to work, to keep surviving. For what? You know what for? A few days at the end of the year where they collapse unconscious on a beach someplace so they can do it again. And if you say to them, why are you doing this? They'll say, because eventually I'll have enough. But by that time, their arthritis will be so bad. they won't be able to do what they thought they'd be doing. And therefore, Shabbat teaches you, unlike all other nodes in time, all other nodes in Jewish time, once a year is good enough. What's more important than becoming Jewish? Pesach once a year. What's more important than Torah itself? Right. Once a year, Shavuot. But Shabbat, you cannot go more than 6 days without reminding yourself the journey goes someplace. And therefore, Shabbat defines us because it's the name of the destination of the Jewish journey.
It's also often referred to as the day of rest. And on page 26 of your Sefer, you point out that the word Shabbat means resting or desisting from activity, and it also alludes to sitting. So my question is, in a world where doing, creating, accomplishing one's goals our common drives, how is the sitting or desisting from creative activity beneficial for ourselves and the world?
Right. So there are two levels of answer to this. One is merely practical, and that is we need to detoxify or detach. That's wonderful. You know, in the outreach world, we always tell people, long before you think about being spiritual and religious, you know, think about mental health and emotional stability. You know, Shabbat's an incredible day where you can, long before we talk about religion and spirituality, to detach from a world. You know, people are so addicted to the tyranny of a gadget in their hands. There are young people now unable to switch it off at night so that they're woken from their sleep by buzzers and chimes and messages. And therefore, Shabbat, incredible opportunity to simply be, right? Instead of the frenetic movement from one thing to the next. I always say to the men who come to my shirim, you know, on Shabbat, you can look into your wife's eyes over the candles, you know, remind yourself of her name, you know, and you can, before you fall asleep with your nose in the soup, you know, and therefore it's an incredibly important day just to detach. You know, Heather, everything we do in life, tragically, is always for something else. We study to get the exam, to get the degree, get the degree to get the job. What do you ever do for its own sake? Where do you ever live truly in the moment? And the answer is Shabbat. There are only two activities for a Jew that do that. Only two. One is Shabbat and one is Torah. When you study Torah for its own sake, you are reveling in the joy of learning to think how Hashem thinks. No other purpose, just the pleasure. And Shabbat, you learning to be without a journey moving anyplace else. This is where the journey leads. And therefore, the pleasure of Shabbos is simply to exist as you are, as this marriage is, as this family is, without an agenda of God. You shouldn't even be planning what you're going to do. You shouldn't even be thinking about what you're going to do after Shabbos. And that's why the concept of Shabbos is no constructive activity. First of all, to detach and simply be, but more deeply, you are learning to empathize or to identify with a world after this in which you will be unable to create any further. You're modeling that world. If you want to know what you will be when you leave this world, you experience that on Shabbos. Shabbos is a time when you're not constructing and building and moving to someplace beyond yourself. You're simply existing as you are. If you spent the week productively, Shabbos is delicious. If you spent the week and waste the time, Shabbos is disastrous. You know, there were religions that changed it to a Sunday and others that changed it to a Friday. You know, it was getting depressing. Shabbos is delicious when you've achieved. And therefore, the way you keep Shabbos is specifically by living the way you will live when you leave this world, namely, no further creation. Right. And that's why the word is cognate with the concept of sitting, because sitting means no journeying here. Sitting is the position of pleasure when you rest and the journey is over. Sitting, by the way, is always sad in Judaism, always sad. We lo aleinu sit shiva, right? Sitting, the Maharal says, it's tragic because it's static. But when you get to destination, sitting is delicious. When you get to destination, sitting is tragic when you should be moving. And incidentally, I point out to your listeners that a yeshiva means a place of sitting. Why do we call it that? A yeshiva? What is sitting to do with learning Torah? The answer is because there are only two activities that you do that justify sitting in place, and that is Shabbos and learning Torah, where you are in the place of destination.
Very nice. Rabbi Tatz, in the time that we have remaining to talk about Shabbat for now, you've been a major figure in the Kiruv world in outreach for, dare I say, decades. And I'm wondering from your experience, with somebody who is a Baal Tshuva, somebody who's returning to their Jewish roots, when they have some sort of objection about keeping Shabbat 25 hours, if it's just something they think is insurmountable or not desirable, how do you help them overcome their objection? And I'm wondering if you could tell us, what is the chief complaint about Shabbat observance, and how do you help them overcome their objection?
The chief complaint we usually hear is people who haven't experienced it, people who cannot imagine detaching from the frenetic pace of their lives. Many of those people, when they actually do it, find it's amazingly therapeutic to simply switch off all the distracting stuff and actually be. Now, not everyone experiences that. Some people are frightened when they find themselves alone with themselves, okay? But even those people realize that this is something they need to learn how to do. So the first problem is, yes, people find it hard to detach. How will I live without my phone and out my contacts and so forth and so on? That's true. That is an objection. Many of those objections melt away when people actually experience it. But a much more practical step for people not even ready for that experience, a much more practical thing is we say to people, do what you can. Now, a rabbi is not going to tell a student in Kiruv or any place else, do this sin or do that sin, break Shabbat like this or break Shabbat. We don't say that.
Right.
But we say whatever you can do. We certainly believe that half a loaf is better than none. You know, if you're going to starve, you don't have to starve completely, because you eat poison on Monday doesn't mean you have to eat poison on Tuesday. So somebody says, I'm going to have a beautiful Friday night with a Shabbat meal and identify and do it correctly. Shabbat morning, I'm playing golf or going to work. We say, but don't let that stop you doing Friday night. In other words, whatever you can do, or you take on a certain mode on Shabbos, it may be hypocritical and inconsistent, but at least do what you can do. And very often we find that when people learn how to slow down to that pace. You know, I just had an amazing experience here that we took a group of young professionals, Americans, to South Africa. And one of the experiences they have is we take them into the bush, you know, the Kruger National Park. You're talking about 500 miles from nowhere, no cell phone reception, nothing around you but God's creation the way it used to be. It's very interesting to watch New Yorkers when they enter that zone for the first time. It takes them a few hours, sometimes a whole day, to slow down to the pace of the bush, you know, where they can sit there for an hour and just watch one bird or one interesting tree. You know, it's remarkable. When they get it, they get it. Right, then they suddenly realize the ridiculous, frenzied nature of their lives where there's no time to actually be. Shabbos is that zone, living in God's creation the way it was meant to be. And therefore, first component of answer to your question is education. When people come in and they learn what it's meant to be, that changes everything. But for those who find it difficult even knowing what it's meant to be, the second answer is experience. Mm-hmm. If experience is partial at first, fine, then partial. But this is usually one of the lesser problems of people coming into the Kiruv movement. Shabbos is usually very appealing to them. And when they experience it in a family atmosphere and with the good food and the time to reflect, you know, people who are sensitive to what their lives are becoming, usually, the vast majority of cases, respond very positively to that.
Very nice. Thank you so much. That's lovely. I just want to thank you so much, Rabbi Tatz, for sharing your wisdom about Shabbat and many insights that your readers gain from your most recent Sefer Shabbat and the Festivals, Journey and Destination.
Thank you very much, Heather. I've enjoyed being on your program, and I wish you much success for all your work and best wishes to all your listeners.
Rabbi Akiva Tatz founded the Jerusalem Medical Ethics Forum, of which he is director, for the purpose of teaching and promoting knowledge of Jewish medical ethics internationally. He currently lectures on Jewish thought and medical ethics at the Jewish Learning Exchange in London, where he has been based for more than 20 years. He is also a regular speaker for Olami. For more information about Rabbi Akiva Tatz and to purchase your copy of Shabbat and the Festivals, check out the show notes to this episode.
And now it's time to find out what is on the reading table of today's brightest Jewish luminaries.
And on the line to tell us about the book that's on his reading table is resident luminary and Rav of the Machzike Hadath Synagogue in London, Rabbi Ilan Halberstadt. Rabbi Halberstadt is the author of an incredible, groundbreaking book titled Think Big, The Torah Path for the Teenage Male. He was my featured guest on 613 Books podcast a while ago discussing Think Big, which I cannot recommend highly enough. I'm really grateful to our featured guest, Rabbi Dr. Akiva Tatz, who's also Rabbi Halberstadt's father-in-law, for recommending Think Big as a very worthwhile read. All right, Rabbi Ilan Halberstadt, welcome back to 613 Books podcast, and please tell us what book is on your reading table.
Hi, Heather. Thank you so much. Yeah, one of the books on my reading table, I would say, is Dimensions in Chumash by a good friend of mine, Rabbi Emanuel Bernstein. He's written many, many books. Every single one you'll find has always got quality content inside. And this particular one is on Chumash. Listen, as a rabbi, I'm always looking for extras and different angles of things to say, and I'll always find something there. And I like to always plow through the entire parasha to find out everything I can and build a theme in the parasha. And there's always something that I'll find in Dimensions in Chumash by Rabbi Emanuel Bernstein. Really a fantastic scholar. And everything he says, there's always notes, and it's written clearly. And look out for the super-duper fantastic titles that only he can come up with. You probably got to guess all the puns that in every single title. Some of them are fantastic. Like one that just comes to mind, he has there where he calls the Parsha of Beshalach Symphony in C minor. It's brilliant. So that's a classic. And he's got many like that, that you have to like literally think about the titles because they're so fantastic. So that is one of the books that I would highly recommend. It's always got quality content. That's one of the books on my table.
Rabbi Emanuel Bernstein was one of our featured guests on 613 Books podcast during the Sukkot Festival, so it's nice to hear about more of his written work. And just to refresh your memory, Parshat Beshalach includes the historic episode of the splitting of the Sea of Reeds. And for more information and to purchase your copy of Rabbi Bernstein's book, also Rabbi Halberstadt's book, Think Big, and Rabbi Tatz's Sefer, Shabbat and the Festivals, just head over to the show notes to this episode of 613 Books Podcast. It's all there for you. And that's what's on the shelf for this episode of 613 Books Podcast. I'm Heather Dean. Thanks for listening.
613 Books Podcast is produced and hosted by Heather Dean. Senior producer and director of operations, Greg Cohen. Consulting producer, Yisca Roth. Show announcer, Michael Doniger. Remember to like and subscribe to our show on your favorite app, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or your own preferred app, and never miss an episode. You can find all episodes of 613 Books Podcast by visiting our website, heatherdeanproductions.com.